Welcome back to Topic Thunder. I'm your host, Eric Silva. I created this podcast so we can discuss many different topics, ranging from politics, religion, sex, drugs, and alcohol, dinosaurs, pyramids, government conspiracies, and much more. Stay tuned to my latest episode titled Existential Earth. Existential threats to our Earth. How will the Earth meet its demise? We know that it will one day, but how? Will it be from a giant asteroid, like in the movie Armageddon, where Bruce Willis ends up finding a way to save the whole planet, sacrificing his own life? Will it be from artificial intelligence that we create? Man always wants another companion for some reason. We end up creating some type of artificial intelligence android that finds out that we don't know much and destroys us. He doesn't really need us. Will it be from a giant solar flare? From the sun? And will the sun maybe phase out? Does it have its last years upon us? As a nuclear reactor through fusion. We don't really know how the Earth will meet its demise, but we can only speculate. No one truly knows the minute, time, or hour that the world will end. Religious people, scientists, some people have put it, maybe labeled, maybe God. God will destroy the planet. For sure, the planet might still be here, but the human race and animals and wildlife, plant life, all of those might disappear. It's fun to think about this stuff because it's going to happen, but we'd like for it to happen on our own terms. We wouldn't want a zombie apocalypse to happen. People are preparing for it. There's people that are digging trenches, they're moving underground, they have these giant facilities that can fit up to 20 people, 20 family members, underground. They have canned food, weapons, water, electricity. Doomsday preppers. They're prepping for doomsday. I think there are $50,000 for one of these giant tunnel things that they build underground. It's made out of concrete and they have ventilation systems. They have the HVAC with the AC. They have everything going with electricity. They have beds. They have the whole works. They put good money into this because they're expecting some type of virus or something to maybe spread out. Who knows? A zombie apocalypse is probably the main thing that they're afraid of. But these people are really, they know that something is coming. Now, are we going to be naive and not suspect something like something catastrophic to maybe happen to the Earth, or a flood, maybe a volcano, multiple volcanoes exploding at the same time, wiping out civilization as we know it? There's a scientist that predicts that in the upcoming years, far, far from now, a million years, that the sun will phase out. We will no longer have the burning star above us, 93 million miles away, giving us energy, feeding the plants through photosynthesis, trees dying off, not being able to give us oxygen, so then eventually we will die off. There's all these different speculations and theories that man come up with to explain what is going to happen or how it's going to happen. We don't really know. My guess is that if something like this is going to happen, it might not be a zombie apocalypse. I mean, it could be, but I'm thinking more of the artificial intelligence takeover. Like, that just seems more real. I mean, we have cell phones now, we have computers, laptops, all these technical devices that exploded into our hands in the past 20 years. They say that a smartphone has more technology in it than all of the computers that NASA had that sent up its probes and sent all its Apollo missions, even the one that landed on the moon. That we have more technology in our hands than they had at NASA on their greatest mission ever. More than the supercomputers that they had then. Just a regular old Android 7 or an iPhone 7. Not even the 10s, not the 9s, but just a regular 7, iPhone 8. That tech that's in there is far superior than the one that they had back in 69 when they sent up the Apollos. So to me, artificial intelligence is right around the corner. By right around the corner, I mean about 20 years. They're already developing robots and androids and stuff that can shoot a basketball. They had robots that they claim are artificial intelligence because it's self-taught how to shoot a basketball. So they'll have it stand behind a three-point line, and it's shooting basketballs, and it's shooting 80%. It's shooting 80% from the three-point line. When I think an average NBA basketball player is probably shooting around 40% at a top mark. So he's shooting the ball better than Steph Curry can. And a robot. A Japanese robot. And they got him doing these little basketball tests. They got him doing little things like a football tests. How cute. Who are the guys, the top elites? Where do they have those robots at? These androids, where they claim are the beginnings of the AI. Ones that can really think for themselves. Ones that they don't publish in articles. Ones that they don't video. Where are those robots? Where do they have them stored at? We can only wonder what scientist, what mastermind has these robots. Are they having them load these weapons? Are they developing weapons inside them? You know what I mean? Because they have these fun ones that are shooting basketballs. Those look so fun. But there's also the other bad side. The ones that are taking advantage of the AI that they're trying to create, and these machines that they're trying to make them seem like they're one of us. But they don't have the same mind that we would have. You know? We have empathy and sympathy. A machine would not have that. It takes thousands of years. It takes a human thousands of years to develop some type of empathy through their genome. Because whenever you can look in someone's eye and find out if they're sad or they're happy or not, you can kind of relate to them. So you know something is wrong. Now, if you were to look in the eye of an artificial intelligent being, some type of android or robot, however they may look, who knows, would they be able to feel what you feel? Will you be able to understand how they feel? That's what it comes down to. Are they going to be subject to discrimination? You know? Because we can write whatever we want inside their dialogue of how they're supposed to be a human, but they're not. They're going to be their own organism. They're going to be their own self-made, self-taught machine. Because if not, then they're not going to be a true AI. An AI means that, let's just say you create an AI. You create something, and that's it. You're done. Now you step back. Now from that point on, it's going to teach itself. it's going to create another one of itself, and it's going to make it better than the one that he is. And that's how artificial it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to just stay the same. So he creates the next best one, and guess what? That next one creates a better one, and it just keeps extrapolating. It just exponential growth and speed and intelligence, till it one day finds out that it doesn't need us anymore. How we've become a pest. How we are destroying the earth. How we don't believe in climate change. How we don't believe in preserving the wild. How we don't preserve the jungles, the Amazon forests, the water, the lakes. How we keep polluting everything. It's something to think about. And that is my thought on artificial intelligence. How they will be the ones to end the human race. So it is inevitable, because we've been leading up to this progression through technology. Now we try to make robots. Now we want the robots to be human. We want them to feel and think and start creating their own things and have their own ideas. Eventually, maybe their own schools. Who knows how artificial intelligence will look. But I know that they might spare other things on the planet. I know they might spare the animals. Who knows what they'll spare? Who knows what they'll believe? They are creating them to think a brand new way. A smarter way. A faster way. But how will they meet their demise? We are talking about a complete makeover of the Earth. So some astrophysicists, they might say something on the lines of, man creates artificial intelligence for the first time. Then it reads, AI has taken over the planet. A few years later, the Earth has been destroyed by an asteroid. So instead of us being destroyed by artificial intelligence, instead of artificial intelligence destroying us, we need to create some type of compromise and figure out how to stop the asteroid from hitting the planet. We need to work together. On another note, what other things and what other ways will the Earth be destroyed? Will it be from something else? Something that I have not thought of yet. Do you have ideas? We want to live forever. We want to be immortal. We want to have immortality. But one day we all will bite the dust. We will no longer see the trees, the birds flying around, clouds, family. Everything will go away. And some of us are fine with that. Some of us aren't afraid. Some of us have lived life to the fullest. Some of us. I don't know, I don't speak for the entire world, but one day we will leave. But let's say all this stuff did happen. Let's say that the world did end, and we are no longer here, and artificial intelligence killed us. Where will we be? Scientists believe that we are particles made up, billions of atoms and stuff put together, and we are walking molecules. So we are made up of carbon and oxygen and water. We're made up of billions of different atoms combined together, creating our cell structure, everything. From top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We are created as through science as a bunch of atoms and molecules. Now through biology, that's when we become our human selves, and it's an actual whole picture
of physics. So physics believes in a small atoms, stuff like that. Then you go into chemistry, where all these atoms and stuff are combining. You know, you get your salts, you get sodium chloride, makes your salts. You got inside your body, you have acids, you have hydrochloric acid, and then you have potassium fluoride. And you have all these different things inside you, and these are through chemical combustions and compounds and creating all these different things. Now, after you have physics, finds the atoms. Now, chemistry finds how you combine these different molecules and create other ones. Biology grabs the finished product, and now it studies how it's the finished heart, brain, DNA. It's all these stuff together now. So we have all these different sciences in a row. Now, they believe when we die, we simply return to compost or something. That's what a biologist would say. We just simply go back into the earth as, you know, a fertilizer. Chemistry is the same way. You know, if they believe that you, for example, you were to have a fire, you know, you have a log, you throw it into the fire, it goes from a solid, and then it goes into a gas, you know, it goes into ashes, the fumes go off somewhere. Everyone believes in something different. What do you believe in? Do you believe in religion? Are you a religious person? Do you believe that when you die, you go to heaven? A safe place that God has in storage for every single one of us. Do you believe that we are in a safe keeping, our spirits in a safe place, waiting for judgment day? Waiting for the heavens to arrive on earth. Waiting for a new city. Made of gold. Made of all the wonders that a man could possibly think. Is that where you believe that we will end up? No one really wants to think about where they will end up. They don't really know. Some people say that they've seen a light, like in the hospital, if they've had major surgery, or if they were dying, or they got shot and they were dead. And then, you know, they eventually they're brought back. But before that, they see a white light. They see something like a heaven, like some type of omnious being, something. They see something, an angel maybe. And then they come back. That's what a person sees. They're not taking it out of context. They're not saying anything. That's from a religious point of view, where they see something. And even if they're not religious, they probably soon become religious afterwards. Now, a scientist or physicist or something like that, he might say that the light you've seen was from the neurons in your brain reacting, and all these different impulses were from the messages sent from your prefrontal cortex to the back of your brain, to the front, to the side of your left and right hemisphere of your brain, to your spinal cord. They're gonna think of something like that, on those, and use those terms to describe what you've seen. They might want to hook you up to some type of computer so that you're able to see on a screen how your brain reacted and how the blood flow went from what part of the brain, and that's how they would kind of see where you're at. You might have seen something real. A person might have seen some light. They might have seen some angel. They might have seen something. But the other side is going to have an explanation, which is going to be a science explanation. So it depends on the person, how they're going to read it. Is that how you see yourself leaving? Do you see yourself going to heaven, or do you see yourself evaporating or turning into compost and just going back into the universe as you once were? Scientifically, a bunch of atoms combined through chemistry, making your body. Or do you feel yourself going to heaven and your body staying here, but yet your spirit going into a safe place that God has for you. How will it end? What will happen after you're gone? And let's say that Judgment Day does exist. I was talking to a religious man, and he believes that Judgment Day is coming, and it's coming quickly. So if the scientists are expecting something to happen that destroys the earth, and their thoughts are different than a religious man's thoughts, but yet a religious man says the same thing. He says, yeah, the earth and the world is going to end. You can tell the way that the birds are flying around. You can tell the way that we're chopping trees, that we're not caring anymore about anybody. You know, the world's kind of going crazy, they say. That's how you can kind of tell that it's going to the end, and we have to hold on to our, keep ourselves in line and hold on to our church or whatever, you know, whatever we have, says a religious man. The scientists believe the same outcome, except it's in a different order, you know. They don't believe in a God. They believe in particles and that we were particles, and they believe in quantum physics, where they quantify everything from us to gravity. Everything is able to be quantified. They can put a particle to everything, they say. Anywhere from light to gravity, they can put a particle on just about everything. They used to not, but now that they have quantum physics and even string theory, the scientists have string theory to save the day. Now we have string theory, everybody. They had Sir Isaac Newton, they had Albert Einstein, they had many different people. Well, Einstein has his theory of relativity, and then it was really hard to distinguish between what's a particle and what's a wave, and in the smaller subatomic levels. So Albert Einstein, terrific physicist, he has particles and gravity in his works, but yet he doesn't really know what they are because the technology wasn't up to date. You could only just maybe name a few, you know. They knew like hydrogen and helium, they knew all these basic elements, but they couldn't really see what's in between them, you know. You would only assume that you can keep breaking things down to a smaller and smaller level, and that's how they're getting their ideas through in physics. For example, you want to break down a car. So you break down a car, you take the hood, you take the doors, you take the trunk off, you see the inside of the car. Now you see a steering wheel, you see seats, you see knobs and radio and all that stuff. Now let's take that off. And it just keeps going and peeling the layers off and peeling everything off that's in the car. And eventually they see the motor, they see the chassis, they see the wheels, they take the wheels off, they see the rim. That's basically what they're doing in physics. So they're taking everything apart. So they see that we discovered an atom. Yay! So now we have an atom. Well, what's inside an atom? Is it a nucleus? Is it protons, electrons? Then after that, they're like, well, what's inside of an electron and what's inside of a proton? So then they start digging deeper into it. They get their huge instruments. They start trying to detect what's in between them. Is there something smaller? So now we have an atom. Now they broke down an atom, which is atom is in size. It's probably the size of a pinhead. That would be the size of an atom. The size of an electron would probably be, let's give a bigger example. the size of a car would be an atom. And then the size of a pinhead will be the electron. That's the size difference. So an atom, which is very, very small, of course we know that. That would be the size of a car. The size of an electron would be the pinhead moving around the car. That's the size difference. And then you go smaller than that. So that's when string theory comes along. So string theory would be something in the likes of, what are the electrons made of? Let's break down an electron, let's break down a proton, let's break down even smaller, because there's something that made those. And string theory says that there are small strings vibrating. So all we are is vibrating strings. Now this is all theoretical, of course. They don't have the instruments to find this and to figure it out. But they have these theories. They have them set up through mathematics. They have these great mathematicians that are solving these huge mathematical equations to tell you if string theory is real or not. But that, like I said, that's been since the 80s. So string theory is the latest development. They have other theories, and I know they have a gravity with gravitons, and they have all these other theories that are a branch of it. But it's still almost all the same works. It's the same kind of work, trying to break down smaller and smaller and smaller. So then once you find out the smallest stuff, the smallest very, let's just say that string theory is real. And we are just a bunch of vibrating little strings. You know, like a violin. They're like little bitty strings bouncing around everywhere. Those little strings eventually make an electron, proton, and an atom. Then the atoms come together, and then through chemistry, they have some type of balance where you need a plus or minus in weight, and you got your plus proton with your negative electron, and you have one of each, and that determines what type of element you're going to become. Then we come together, then we make the human body, we make the flesh, we make the DNA that runs our entire chromosomes, we have our genome, we have everything that determines whether we're male or female, and that's across the entire planet, where we have animals and fish and all this stuff. Now, is it by random, since the Earth's been around for about 5 billion years, is it just something that all of a sudden came together? That's what we're trying to do to find out in physics. And chemistry and biology is how all this stuff worked itself out. The other side is religion. God made it all, says the preacher, says the priest. God made everything that we see, from plants, animals, people, everything on the earth, the sun, everything off the earth, the moon, asteroids. He created all this stuff because he can. So their argument is that he made it because he can. And they also say he can take it away because he can. So he made it, he can take it away, they explain. He is an all-powerful being. How will we end our lives? Will we not end our lives? Of course, we're not going to take our lives because our lives are precious. But I mean, how will we end up dying? Will it be from something catastrophic, or will it be from a simple wreck on the road? Will it be from falling off a bicycle and hitting your head on a small little rock or something? Would it be some freak accident at work or if you're walking? We don't really know. We just know that you either believe in this side or that side, or you're going to believe a little bit of both. You know, you believe a little bit of both. You combine religion and science, and maybe that's the key. Maybe everyone should believe in both. So then maybe knowing both ends up saving you at the end somehow. Who knows? You know, maybe God made all these riddles up in science. So at the end of days, when you're there and you're in judgment day and he's there to judge you, he's going to ask you, do you know that I made water? Thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, did you know that? and you're going to answer, and you have to answer correctly or you don't get into heaven. He's going to say, do you know what molecules I put on earth so that I could make water? Did you know that I invented that? Do you know what molecules make water? And you would have to say, of course, hydrogen and oxygen. And then you're allowed in. Who knows? You never know. You never know. It might all be here for a reason. So it's good to study it, and you never know. Because if God's all-knowing and he knows everything, that means he already knows all the stuff about physics. He knows it about biology. He knows everything about everything. So it's better to just jump on board, just in case you might get a question asked. At least you know it and you can get in.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Existential Earth. We discussed many different things today. But stay tuned to future episodes so then we can have more fun together. Enjoy your day. Thanks.